Gather round, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day.
Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration, everybody. Glad you're with us. We are talking about the legal ins and outs in the Bill Cosby case on this show. The Iowa caucus up the ante in the presidential race, but is all of America excited about the political season? Village contributor Jim Scott is concerned about the black community's flagging enthusiasm. And as you know, we are less than 72 hours from Super Bowl Sunday, so stay with us for the show. We're going to talk Super Bowl with former NFLer Jay Barnett. But first, for months, the entire country has watched as dozens of women have come forward and accused Bill Cosby of drugging them and then having sex or inappropriate contact with them. Criminal charges were filed in Pennsylvania, and they rest on a deposition related to a civil case. New York attorney Dante Mills joins us to explain what is happening. Dante, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Love the show. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
I think a lot of Americans, African Americans in particular, are confused about the connection between the deposition and these criminal charges. Explain that to us, please.
Sure. When we're talking about the Bill Cosby case, there's a couple of different factors that goes into it and why the charges are just moving forward now. We're talking about an incident that happened in 2004. And what happened after 2004, the victim, Ms. Constant, came forward in 2005. At that time, there was a district attorney, Mr. Bruce Castor, and he negotiated a deal with Bill Cosby that he would not move forward with criminal charges. And he verbally gave that guarantee that Mr. Cosby would not face criminal charges on this matter. As a result of that, Bill Cosby moved forward, and instead of going forward on a criminal matter, he went forward on a civil matter. Now, the difference is, criminally, you can face criminal charges with the threat of either probation or parole or jail time. Civilly, it's all about compensation, monetary compensation. So when Mr. Cosby knew that he would not be charged criminally, he agreed to move forward and give a deposition in a civil case where Ms. Constand was seeking money because of what happened. That deposition went forward, and in that deposition, Mr. Cosby admitted to having contact with Ms. Constand, whatever contact that happened that is now being called inappropriate, he admitted that it happened but said it was consensual. So we fast forward, and the district attorney who gave that guarantee, Mr. Castor, was running in an election against a district attorney now, Mr. Kevin Steele. In that election, Kevin Steele used as his political argument that attorney Mr. Castor was too lenient on some people, and he specifically used the Cosby case as an example. And he promised when he was running for district attorney that if he was voted in, he would charge Bill Cosby with sexual assault. Kevin Steele wins the election, he becomes a district attorney, and he moves forward with the charges and says, I'm going to use the deposition that Mr. Cosby gave against him in the criminal case. So yesterday in court, the purpose of going to court yesterday was to determine whether or not that verbal agreement that the former district attorney gave to Mr. Cosby that he would not bring criminal charges against him, whether or not that should stand, or if the new district attorney had the authority to override that. And the judge decided that the former district attorney did not have the power to grant that kind of immunity and just say to anyone, you will not be charged ever.
Mm-hmm.
So he threw that agreement out. And he said that the district attorney now has the right to move forward with criminal charges. And that's what leaves us today. Now, the deposition itself, there's another hearing on March 8th where they're going to discuss whether or not what was said in that deposition can be used in the criminal court against Bill Cosby. And there's arguments for that on both sides. I mean, some people say he only did that because he thought he wouldn't be charged criminally, so it's unfair to use it against him. Other people are going to argue that he said it, it's his testimony, so whatever the reason he said it was, it's an admission and it should be used.
It's difficult to have a conversation about the Bill Cosby case because there are so many factors involved. There is the history of the justice system's treatment of African American men. There is the superstar status of Bill Cosby. There are, on the other hand, dozens of women who are saying essentially the same story. But that factor of race is so prevalent in this situation with Bill Cosby that it makes it very difficult for the facts to have an honest review.
I agree with that to a certain extent. I agree with it, but I don't know if it's appropriate here. Race definitely plays a factor in a lot of what goes on in the criminal justice system. There's no question about it. But as a race, and even as a country, including everyone, do we want to be in a position where we say, this is one of our heroes, so you don't have the right to go after him? Do we want to disregard everything that all of these victims or potential victims are saying happened because we hold him in a certain regard? And how do you then compare that to, say, Governor Rick Snyder, who was aware of the water conditions in Flint, and then you say he's a governor, so we're not going to go after him because he's held in a high regard? Or the police officer who was recently found guilty of raping women, do you say he's a police officer, so we don't go after him? You know, you have to decide where you draw that line and where you say, I can't allow race matters to supersede decisions that someone make that affects other people's lives. So if there's enough women saying that Bill Cosby did this to me, he used sexual inappropriate contact, sexual assault against my consent, do we ignore that just because of what he's done for our community? Now, I think the second part of that is we then have to separate it. We have to say we understand that Bill Cosby has done phenomenal things for our community. He's provided tons of opportunity. He's provided someone that you can look to and say, he's achieved and so can I. But I also know that no man is perfect. So I'm not going to hinge my view of all of the good he did on the fact that he may have a character flaw. Now, it's going to be difficult to really prove whether or not these allegations are true, but I don't think if they are or not should take away from everything that he did. And the way they're doing it is punishing they're punishing everybody. I mean, he set up college scholarship funds that are putting people through college, that are providing opportunities for people, and they're pulling those scholarships from schools. That makes no sense because it takes away from someone that needs it because he may have had a character flaw that we don't agree with. And it doesn't mean he's right or wrong. I'm just saying we have to limit how we glamorize people and how we include our vision of somebody being perfect because they're in the spotlight.
Well, you make a very good point about the equitable application of the law, which is one of the most consistent outcries in our community. Police officers are allowed to mistreat African-American men and women, yet nothing happens to them. Meanwhile, we have quite vehemently defended, and when I say we, I mean the community as a whole has vehemently defended Bill Cosby because of his superstar status. You do realize what you're saying is blasphemous in a lot of circles.
I do. But until we recognize that separate is not equal, And we cannot be a walking contradiction where we say we want to be treated like everyone else except where it doesn't benefit us or except where it puts someone that we hold in high regard in jeopardy.
Because then we are just as guilty as the majority
community. No question
about
it. We can't expect fair treatment. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We can't expect that fair treatment if we don't want to be fair on the back end of it. Now, I'm not suggesting, you know, someone may argue, well, why does it have to start with us? But, you know, really that's a kindergarten game, and we're not looking at the situation for what it is, no matter where it starts at. If we want fair, if we want equal, we have to apply it all across the board.
So here we are all these years after that deposition. Does a prosecuting attorney have the authority to ever say, you won't face prosecution for a crime based on my word, not the law? We're not saying an expiration of the statute of limitations. We're saying a gentleman's agreement, if you will.
Well, if you listen to the judge in this case based on his decision yesterday, the answer, which is usually the answer in the law, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start by saying this. Clearly, Mr. Cosby's team in 2005 should have received that in writing. That should have been the first thing they requested or demanded. If we're going forward with this deal, if I'm going to make actions based off my reliance on you saying you will not criminally prosecute me, I want it in writing. That's the first thing that should have been done, and that would have changed the outcome of the hearing yesterday. But he didn't get it in writing, so we're talking about a verbal agreement. And when you don't have it in writing, it leaves more to the imagination of the mm-hmm. context it was said in, why it was said, what the basis of it was it really full immunity given? So you leave questions that a judge now has to follow behind and answer. And the judge determined that this district attorney did not have enough authority to grant blanket immunity. He was not in a position to say, you will never be charged in Pennsylvania ever mm-hmm. for this incident.
Mm-hmm.
So once the district attorney changed and the new district attorney came in, he had the right to say, there's some new evidence, which is the deposition transcript, and I'm going to use that now to prosecute you, even though it's 12 years later.
You know, I think what also fans the flames of the conversation that Mr. Cosby is not receiving fair treatment are the pictures we see of him going to and from court, and he does not look well.
There's two ways to view that. I cannot tell you Mr. Cosby's current health situation. I don't know that. I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen any medical reports or any of his latest scans or anything like that. But I can just put this out there. As an attorney, when you have clients, your job is to make sure that they are viewed in the best light possible. In Mr. Cosby's case, where he's facing a sexual assault claim that says he took control away from someone, it's beneficial to everyone else to see him in a situation where he's not in full control of himself. He's walking with a cane. He seems frail because in the back of your mind you're thinking, how can this guy in this state sexually assault someone? How can he overpower someone? And we know that it was a different time. It was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that image is what stays in your mind. And if you want an example of it, just go back to the Trayvon Martin case where George Zimmerman ate as much as possible and gained as much weight as possible. So during the trial, he looked flubby mm-hmm. and flabby.
Mm-hmm.
And like he couldn't – there's no way in the world that this – chunky guy was going to overpower
a 17-year-old kid.
But
who was
if
strong.
You look at the mm-hmm. absolutely, but if you look at the pictures from George Zimmerman around the time of the incident, he was in great shape. He was cut. He loved working out, lifting weights. That's what he did. But when it came to the trial part, they presented a different picture. So when it comes back to Bill Cosby, is that a picture that we're being presented because his attorney, his trial team wants to show him as frail as possible so that we have that sympathy so that we can't see him overpowering people? Or does he just have general health issues? I can't answer that question, but I can tell you that those are two viable explanations for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, this has been such a hot topic in our community, and it's divided friends and I don't want to say families, but it has certainly been a very divisive topic. Did Bill Cosby do this? Are these women making all of this up? And there are some who say there's no way. Dozens of women are telling the same story, and all of them are making this up. And now we have moved into the courtroom with one of the charges that started with a civil case and all of the back and forth. Did the prosecuting attorney have the authority to say, we will never prosecute you if you admit this, we'll never prosecute you? It is
and,
not
and that's
over.
Something if you
go ahead, Dante.
That's something that when you move on past the whether or not they can move forward with this case, because in fact the judge has decided they can, and you move forward to whether or not this is something he can be found guilty on, it's a completely different question.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at his interaction with Ms. Constand in 2004. Now, there's other women, obviously, that's come forward. There's women that's retracted their statements. There's some that's going back and forth and changed your statement of things that happened. But the main issue that you have to have in your mind is that of temporary consent. It's something that it's a touchy subject and a very fine line to walk down when you have women that are in a situation and it may not turn out how they wanted it to. The experience, and we're talking about one of the most popular African-American figures of all time.
Ever.
And when we're talking about 10, 20 years ago, I mean, it was even at a higher level than now. So these are women that jockeyed for his attention because it's Bill Cosby. So it's not like he's just sitting in a coffee shop and just happens to see someone. This is somebody that jockeyed for his attention. He may have selected them, but if the outcome didn't turn out how they wanted it to, if they didn't get the satisfaction they were looking for, if the next day they started to regret their decision because maybe he didn't follow up with a phone call or something he said he was going to do he didn't do, do they have the right to then take back that consent that they gave because they regret it or because they think the game that I was playing didn't end the way that I wanted it to? That's the dicey situation that we have with all of these victims, quote-unquote, coming forward and saying, I participated in this night with Mr. Cosby, but at some point my right to reason became cloudy, and it didn't go how I wanted to.
Well, cloudy, they say, because they say he drugged them,
yeah,
and he admitted.
Absolutely.
And in that deposition, he did admit that he bought drugs to use them on women. That's key, a key part of that deposition. So in defense of all of these women, I just find it highly unlikely that all of them are making up the same story, especially against the backdrop of what he said in that deposition in 2005.
And that may be true.
And to your point, when we talk about he said, she said situations, sexual assault, that's what they are. He said. And then she said, but we also recognize that we live in a culture that very often forces women to be silent in the face of mistreatment.
Agreed, 100%. And I think that that's something that they're going to look at even in this case. You know, the facts of this case is about a year went by before Ms. Constand brought it up, and she actually brought it up when she went home to Canada. She didn't bring it up to the Pennsylvania police or anyone in the Philadelphia area until afterwards. And that may be because she saw his reach, and
sure,
she knew that he had a hold on the city, a hold on the state, and she
and
didn't feel comfortable
on country.
Until she got, no question about it, and she didn't feel comfortable until she got back to her comfort zone of her home, where she knew that he wasn't present, that his presence maybe wasn't as big, that she was able to come forward. Now, you have to balance that, though, with the fact that there were different occurrences or encounters where she was alone with him again, had different phone calls with him where she supposedly taped some of the phone calls in an attempt to get money. Those things come into play as well. But I don't want to at all, and I want to make this clear, I don't want to take away the fact that if Bill Cosby did this to women, it did put them in a position where you have to speak out against a very powerful person, and that's a tough thing to do.
It is. This case will continue regardless of what happens on March 8th. It seems to be one of those cases that most everyone has an opinion on, but you have the expertise to discuss it from a legal perspective, and we appreciate it. Dante Mills joining us tonight.